Each year, North Shore Music Association sponsors a dynamic weekend for bluegrass musicians and fans at Lutzen Resort. This is the 24th annual year they've been doing that, and we're lucky enough to have the group performing this year. It's the Emery Lester set, Emery Lester on mandolin, and then we've got Keen Hyatt on bass. Welcome, guys.
Not Mark Roy. This is Al Smith from Jasper, Georgia.
All right.
And he's never been called Mark Roy, but unfortunately...
until today.
Mark was our former guitar player, okay. And I guess your promo wasn't updated. I apologize for that.
That's all right. Well, we're glad to have him anyway. So, so what can you tell us? We just had this discussion before the show about how this is like a regular thing up in Lutzen, and I'm new to the area. So, what can you tell us about this weekend?
Well, this is it's called the Masters Weekend or Masters Bluegrass Weekend, and what happens there is they have a musician come up, I guess, with a band that's featured and give a workshop for an entire day, classes to people that are learning to play on different subjects, and then a performance later in the evening. So that's what we're looking forward to doing tomorrow. And as we have just seen a few minutes ago, there's a whole lot of folks over there right now playing their instruments and in different parts of the resort. So it's kind of neat already. They've already gotten started.
So it's going to be a big jam session all weekend.
It's already begun, yeah.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about yourselves. Where are you guys from?
Well, we come from all parts of the country, and I'm originally from the state of Virginia, Northern Virginia, born and raised, and moved up to Ontario, Canada, up just north of Toronto, back in 2002, and I've lived there ever since, and of course, traveled a lot of roads and played internationally and across the U.S. and Canada. Music's been very much a privilege in my life and been a lot of fun, the journeys it's taken me and stuff. And these folks I have with me, I have on bass here, Keen Hyatt from Sayre, Pennsylvania. And he also, in his life, travels, has ended up in Ontario, Canada, real close to where I'm living. So we both like the snow and the cold for some reason, I guess. But nonetheless, he travels.
Keen is shaking his head right now.
His hot rod cars don't go so fast in the snow and such. But nonetheless, he's been with me since 1990 in all kinds of recording projects and bands and traveled to Europe with me and all over the place. So we've had a lot of good times, a lot of good music. And on guitar, we have Al Smith from Jasper, Georgia, who is a talent that I really didn't know about for many, many years, but has been doing this probably just as long as I have and has loved it just as much as I have, this type of music. And we haven't been able to cross paths until recently. And finally, I'm glad that's happened. And now we can share our music together and work together as well. So a fine talent and a seasoned musician and a privilege to have with us.
Yeah, well, it feels like a real privilege that you three are on our show right now. That's really good. I wonder if you can fit that bass in the back of a hot rod now.
mine, I can. Yeah, I have a 61 wagon. So it fits in there real nice.
Do you fly with it as well?
Yeah.
Do you have to buy a seat for it?
No, it's a special bass called a Chadwick folding bass, and the neck folds up into the body. And
really?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, it's really nice.
And it's 1 pound less than the limit that the airlines have, and it's 2 inches short of the limit the airlines have.
I bet it was designed that way. Yeah.
It was.
Well, can we hear a song?
I'm waiting for him to make a mandolin that folds up into a wallet so I can just walk around with it, but
so you have a new or newish album out called At Dusk. We have it right here. Can we hear kind of a song maybe from that or whatever you guys want to play?
Sure. Actually, I've done a lot of mandolin records over the years, and mandolin music I've loved for a long time and written a lot of songs. The first song on that album is called Going Across the Sea. It's an old traditional bluegrass song that I sort of put my own spin on. And we'll play that live for you now. And I'm not sure how much that's been played on your radio show, but it's, again, this music on At Dusk is, I've played a lot of different music in the past, a lot of almost new age type of acoustic music. and sort of in the era of New Age that used to be out, you know, which was relaxation and calmness and all this. So we try to get a little bit of that going in some of this string music and try to turn versions of songs into that kind of thing, as well as compositions I've written, and that's what that project's generally about.
Yeah, I've listened to it. Now that you say that, I can absolutely hear it. It kind of gives me like a feeling of like landscapes and
Well, I must say, I'm not sure if the listeners are aware of where the radio station is. I'm not going to give that location away in case it's, you know. But I can tell you that this is a very beautiful part of the country, and we just drove up here and enjoyed every minute of the drive. It's very beautiful here.
Oh, good. No, we're happy to say we're in Grand Marais, right before you drop down into town. Yeah. Wow. Beautiful spot.
All right. So this is called Going Across the Sea. It's an old traditional number. 1, 2, 3, yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, beautiful. Sounded like water. That was the Emery Lester set.
Yeah, mandolin seems to be a very watery instrument. That's a compliment. That wasn't.
Well, that's good. It's not really wet or anything. It probably maybe sound that way.
That seems like a very like well used instrument. Is it a special mandolin or?
No, this is. I don't know if the radio folks probably can't see.
They probably can't.
But this mandolin is, it's a beautiful instrument, it is a beautiful instrument, but at one time it was a little more beautiful than it is now. It's quite scarred up and scuffed up, and that kind of happens when you take it on the road and such. Probably should be a lot of postage stamps all over it, too, but I guess it didn't really happen that way. But no, this is a great instrument made by the Northfield Mandolin Company, who sponsors me, and those are good folks down in Michigan there, in Marshall, Michigan. And they make sure I have good instruments, and I appreciate them very much.
So if someone wanted to go to the weekend down at Lutzen, what kind of classes are being offered down there?
Well, the classes this year, mandolin is being featured. So there are a lot of mandolin players down there right now. And the classes will range from everything from technique, the way hands are used on the instrument, up all the way through to chords, rhythms, creativity. A lot of folks want to learn how to improvise over songs they know. So we'll cover all these different elements all day long. I think the classes go from 9 a.m. until like 4 p.m. So it's quite a long day of instruction. So by the time I've taught them till they just can't be taught anymore and remember anything else, then they can have something to eat and then come to the concert that we'll play for them, and then they'll try to forget all the things that caused them grief during the day.
You'll be breathing mandolin by the end of the day.
That's pretty much it. So I think on the way home, they'll be listening to Led Zeppelin and AC/DC. Most likely.
I probably shouldn't have told you that today I did play Led Zeppelin and you. So,
is that right? Yeah, I'm honored.
In the same, yeah.
How about right. that?
I know, Al and Keen, are you guys also going to be teaching classes on your respective instruments there, or are you just playing? Okay.
No, we're not. No. We just came up to play with Emery for the concert.
Nice. They'll be assisting me in some of the classes at times when they wander in and out, but they are generally free to enjoy the scenery and the resort.
Which is nice. Supposed to be a really sunny weekend, actually.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a little chilly.
A little chilly. But,
we got some snow last night. You guys barely missed that. So,
in Ontario, where we are living, there hasn't been snow yet, and everybody's regretting the first day, and they know it's coming, so... I just told them that I went to seek it out here this weekend, so I've already seen my first snow for the fall.
I have a question on your classes. Are they for any level of mandolin player, or?
Yes. Generally, when I teach, and I teach a lot, so, you know, the classes are definitely very directed. They have a lot of material. And a lot of, you know, intention in the class to try to get a result out of players. So generally when I teach a subject, I teach it to all levels. And even though some of what's being said might be really a little bit strange to a beginner, it's really good for that person to hear what is being said, because all too often that'll come back later and help them later on. After they've learned to play a little bit. Of course, playing a mandolin or any instrument's a privilege and fun, and that's something we stress in all the classes, is that, you know, such an activity can be stressful to some folks, and they get nervous or they get self-conscious and stuff. But when they're home after a day of work or such stresses of life come, to pick one of these up and hear it ring... is a privilege and a release to that. So, you know, having fun with it's a huge portion of it, and we make sure to remind them all day long.
That's great.
Now, mandolin is strung the same way as like a violin or a fiddle. Is that right?
Well, it's got two courses of strings each, just for volume sake. So it has eight strings instead of four, but it is tuned similar to a violin.
So would a fiddler have an easy or a tough time maybe making the switch to mandolin?
A lot of times it's an easy time for them because it's such a familiar environment for them to make notes on the instrument. But the bow is another thing, right? That's like trying to play a surfboard or something. You know, it's just like really crazy. But you know, we try to sell them on mandolins, you know. You can,
right.
Yeah, get that out from under your chin and play something cool, you know.
It does have a really beautiful sound.
Well, thank you so
much. Beautiful ring.
It's one of my favorite instruments, too, mandolin. Mm-hmm.
Do you play that as well, Al?
I used to back in the day, probably about 20 years ago. I'm telling my age here now, but yeah, it's one of my favorite instruments. Mm-hmm. It's a real romance instrument, like a guitar. It's very versatile, too, very versatile.
When I go in the airport, I always get asked the same question. Is that a ukulele? And I used to explain it, but it got to be too time-consuming and, you know, with trying to make flights and get through security. So now when they ask, I just say yes. And on we go.
It's easier that way, isn't it?
It is.
There's a lot of misinformed people running around airports now.
Well, can we hear another song from you guys?
Sure. The title cut of that CD is called At Dusk. I wrote that song back in the back in 1993 for an earlier project I had done back then, and it has since been refined and brought forward as we're getting older and wiser and more musical. Things improve over time. So this is called At Dusk. 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3. Thank you.
lovely.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. That's the Emery Lester set here on the Roadhouse.
Mm-hmm.
We're so lucky to have you guys here. Thank you.
Well, thanks
really,
for having us.
Really beautiful music.
And now it's doing really well. Even he's, yeah.
What's that?
I was going to say, like, because have you been traveling with them for very long? Or
shall I tell the secret?
You go right
tell
ahead.
The secrets.
This is the first time I've ever played with them.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. So yeah, and I would like to say it's a real pleasure and an honor to play with both of these guys. They're great musicians, very seasoned, very at home with their instruments. Mm-hmm. And Emery is one of the premier mandolin players in this country. There's no doubt about it. From this country, I should say. Now he lives in Canada. But,
oh yeah.
And he's played with some of the greatest players in the world. So
you know, they call me Canadian now.
Yeah.
Imagine that, listening to me talk.
You got a lot
I never
of
did figure that out. You know, every time, and every time I go into like a, you know, and before I say this, I should say I don't go into a McDonald's often, but when I do go in there, you know, and I order something, you know, like I'd like a Big Mac or something, they always say say that again. So you know,
or a Tim Hortons, you could go into one of those. Say.
Tim Hortons, is there Tim Hortons in Grand Marais? Or?
No.
The only
Canada.
Tim Hortons I've ever seen was in Sault Ste. Marie in Michigan. In
my goodness, is that right?
Yeah.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
So you don't have a lot of fellow Canadians who sound just like you?
Unfortunately, no. Yeah. They all talk very fast, and I've learned to listen pretty fast, but it's hard to jump in there and start talking with them. It's like pulling out on a highway during a traffic jam, you know, but eventually I'll get my point in there. But it's no, they're it's a wonderful place to live, and the people are wonderful there, and I love living there. But I also love coming home, and love traveling around the U.S. and meeting all the folks here as well. So mm-hmm. It's a privilege to play. Yeah.
Now, did you grow up around a lot of bluegrass music, or have like a mandolin player in the family? Is that how you started out?
Well, I come from a musical family. My grandfather was an old-time fiddler in Southwest Virginia, which is an area that was thick with that type of activity and culture. And my dad was one of eight children, four boys and four girls. And they all played music of some sort, some with some notable folks. I have an uncle that played with Ray Price and Eddie Arnold on the Grand Ole Opry stage. My father played behind Patsy Cline, the country singer, for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
So these things, and they had professional, sort of semi-professional careers in music, as well as holding down some day job, you know, to keep things level. And I have also done that for a long time as well, and not relied on music for a living. But still, I came up through it. I have an older brother, so the two of us came up in the middle of the music and just wanted to participate right off the bat and be part of it. So we just sort of grew into the family and grew in with it. And I have two sons now, 27 and 24 years old, and they also play professionally. So it just continues down the family, and we're very privileged for all of it.
Is there ever like a family gathering where it's just an enormous jam session?
Oh, there sure is, and some very funny stories and interesting things that happen, too. But nonetheless, it's a good time. Yeah, a lot of music.
Fantastic.
I bet that makes your holidays really fun.
Oh, it can, yeah. It does. It's certainly wonderful, yeah.
And Emery, maybe you should tell them about your Christmas.
This, yeah.
At that time of year, he has a Christmas mandolin Christmas project, too.
Several years back, I did a Christmas CD called Christmas Carols, and it features mandolin amongst many other instruments. So that project was released in 2007, and it's been sort of out of print for quite a while, but about 50 copies surfaced about a few weeks ago, and were shipped here to the resort here, so we have them here with us. And,
I saw them in the room. That's why I knew to mention it.
Yeah.
I saw them laying on the counter there. So, and mandolin is beautiful on Christmas carols anyway, yeah. Just really beautiful in everything, but it's really well suited for that music, I think.
That's great. Mandolin has a long history, like from, you know, from Europe and Italy and lutes and different things like that, and so it's kind of evolved, you know, through the centuries, I guess, and come to this country, and then you know, some of the instrument companies like Gibson back at the beginning of the 1900s changed the shape and and parameters of the thing, gave it a flat back instead of a bowl shaped back. And mandolin orchestras started up in the 20s, and so it's had quite a history. And then of course Bill Monroe, the noted father of bluegrass, took the mandolin, and because I guess his brothers took the other instruments and left him with the little mandolin, you know, har, har, har. But he took that and showed them what it can do and started the whole bluegrass movement with it. So, and then in the 80s, 70s, and 80s, other musicians that were prominent took it into other arenas and back into jazz a little bit, into other things, and it's evolved. And today, mandolin is very strong. There's a lot of that music, and it's varied. A lot of young folks coming up and writing and playing and recording, and so it's a good time to be a mandolin student or a mandolin player. There's lots to see and draw from. Even the instruments themselves have been improved upon for so many decades, and the makers continue to evolve and make the instruments easier and better for the players than they used to. So. Sure, it's great. It's great. If you haven't tried a mandolin, if you're a guitar player, you need to do that.
Is it good to have like smaller fingers or hands for that? Because I'm a bass player myself, but I don't have like the thickest, largest hands, so maybe it's a little bit hard for me, but this would suit me rather well.
Well, there's sometimes when you need to have really thick fingers to cover a lot of things, but then there's sometimes when you need steak knives for fingers to meet those little high frets that are... You know, some of those spaces are really small. So to fit your fingers in there and make the notes clean is something that you would practice and such. And but, you know, they say that, you know, there's if you go up 12 frets high, there's no money above 12 frets, they say. So just stay down below that.
Good to know.
Keep that in mind. Maybe
probably not past fifth fret on the guitar. But.
Yeah. Or even with a capo, then it's going to go up. Yeah,
yeah, you get a little leeway with a capo, but other than that, that's the money right here. This is the fun. That's the money.
There you go.
So,
well, can we hear another song from you guys?
Well, sure. We've been playing music off the At Dusk CD, so I think we'll continue in that vein. This is another song off there that I've written, and again, you know, I get beautiful visions of scenery and stuff, like driving up this road, and it inspires music that I hear, and you know, I take that back to the workshop, as they say, and refine it and work on it till it's in a shape and in an arrangement, and then I get these wonderful musicians to play it with me live, and it's always fun to do. This is a song called Overland, which is I've had a lot of airplay off that song. It's just a good song to drive down the road too. So, okay, 1, 2, 3, yeah. Thank you.
was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, that was a song where, like, no matter what instrument you were listening to right there, you just get lost in it. I was trying to, like, going back and forth, and wow. That
was getting lost.
Yeah. Me too. I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be watching these meters. Ah, it was wonderful.
Yeah, okay, so.
A lot of interesting chords in that song.
Yeah, it wasn't really the standard, no, 1-4-5 thing. It was interesting. Now, do you draw any other influences from other kind of genres of music? I know you said New Age earlier. Is there anything else?
Oh, yeah. Well, for myself, I think we've all come up with a different musical path. Al and my musical path seem to be pretty similar, whereas Keane's has been quite different. And that that's a merit to this group and to this music for sure. Keane came up. You want to tell him how it happened for you? No, you don't want to do that?
You sure?
Okay. Well, I'll talk.
Maybe it's embarrassing.
No. Keane, he's a student of jazz music and was a long time ago and was formally trained and understands a lot of the things about jazz music that, like, I haven't really studied that necessarily. So I don't understand a lot of the real theories and such. I'm more of an instinct player. I play things that I feel and hear and have kind of come roundabout in a way to the same arena that Keane has come through in an educated way. So when we play together, like, a lot of times I'll play chords that I think sound really wonderful or passing tones, but Keane knows why that was done. So that makes a big difference. So it's kind of, I don't know, almost the Lennon and McCartney thing. You know, the opposites kind of go together really well. Al and I have come up through the 70s there, listening to bluegrass and listening to the music of some very pioneering musicians with acoustic instruments, namely Tony Rice, the guitar player back then, and David Grisman, who turned acoustic music on its head back in the mid-70s with a new brand of music that David Grisman kind of came up with that involved a lot of jazz tones, a lot of string jazz type things. And Tony Rice, whereas he didn't come from that background at all, was very interested in it and moved by that music, and he brought his talent and his technical expertise to that music and joined in with David Grisman. And they made quite a band back then that was very influential and very life-changing for musicians like me and Al. And we have since, haven't been able to shake that. We've loved it so much, and we've worked on our own versions of that music as well as studied their performance. And it's been a long, long and winding road with that and a fascinating one. I think in 1985, I made my first album of music that I wrote in that type of genre. And, you know, anything I made pre-1990 is hard for me to listen to because, of course, I've grown a lot as a musician, but I learned a lot from the process, and Al as well.
I think that's true with any musician, though, Henry. I don't think you're alone there. Mm-hmm. You know, all great musicians wish they could go back and change their first album, you know, but you can't. You're 20 when you do it, and you're however old you are 20 years later or whatever. So there's nothing you can do to change that, and that's just part of the growing process, and that's part of the fun.
So like an automaker, I'm recalling my first project.
I'm safe.
No, I'm just kidding. But
well, yeah. I saw this one thing on your website that I just had to ask about, that you were on David Letterman with Steve Martin.
Yes.
What was that like?
I have several arrangements of musicians that I work with. One of those, I've had a partnership on the side with a great friend of mine I've had since 1997. His name is Mark Johnson, who's a clawhammer banjo artist, is the best way to put that, because he writes, again, very interesting and innovative music using a banjo of that style. Mm-hmm. And Mark and I have had four albums and a long career together as well through the year 2000 through now. And Mark was the winner of the Steve Martin Excellence in Banjo and Bluegrass Award that Steve now has. And he was the third winner of it. And with that comes an appearance on the David Letterman show. So, of course, playing with Mark, Steve, you know, requested that I also come along. So I'm very grateful for that. And I got to play on the David Letterman show with Steve Martin and Mark Johnson. And that was a very surreal kind of experience, but a very great one and a good one for me. Memorable.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's a really, Steve Martin, I know, is, you know, despite all his comedy and stuff, he's just a out-of-this-world banjo player as well.
He's a great musician, and he was a great musician before the comedy actually came in, you know.
Oh, wow.
And the first time I ever saw Steve Martin on television, he was on the Glenn Campbell show playing in the band. And, you know, I didn't really think much of the banjo player in the band until they brought him forward on one show to say hi to him. So he brought Steve Martin out of the band and brought him forward. No one, I had never seen Steve Martin. But he had a little butterfly clipped on his nose. When he was, and he was talking just as normal as can be, like we are talking now, and it was just really funny. And that was the first time I ever noticed anything about
the rest is history.
Yeah. Fascinating person, and a very down to earth person, and loves this music so much, and spends a lot of time playing his banjo, and is very genuine about it.
Yeah. Well, do we have time for one more song?
I think we could squeak one more in.
All right.
Yeah, to hear please.
One. Great. Well, we have one more that we can play for you. This is a little bit more of a bluegrass kind of a tune. And this song comes from another great friend that we've played with and spent time with up in Ontario. Her name is Marion Linton, and she's also a student of jazz and a very accomplished musician and composer. And she came up with this tune that I recorded on an album called Cruise in the Eight, and we still have a lot of fun with, and it's called Mountain Air. One, two, three, yeah. What a note to go out on.
Oh, that was wonderful. Yeah. Oh.
Well, we've been speaking to the Emery Lesser set. Emery, That was another moment that I wish the radio was TV, because he was really getting into
yes.
it. It was very cool.
we're angling for a webcam in here, so we'll see. Yeah.
Oh, well, hey.
That'd be kind of fun.
We'll come back and do it again.
Okay, anytime. Good. Yeah. All right. We'll hold you to that.
And they're part of the North Shore Music Association, sponsoring the 24th Annual Bluegrass Masters Weekend. The event takes place at Lutzen Resort this weekend, the 31st today and through the 2nd. And the Emery Lester set here will be the featured group at the concert on Saturday. And the music starts at 8. Tickets are for sale at the event only. And you can get more information at NorthShoreMusicAssociation.com/bluegrass. So thank you so much for coming on the show. This was great.
Thank you so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, thanks. Wonderful to have you here.